Good morning. If this morning's gospel seems very much like last week's gospel, it's not my fault. It's Mark. It's the way he planned it. This is Act 2 of his three-act drama. And the three scenes of each act are so parallel, they could be mistaken one for the other. We've skipped over about 20 verses of further teaching that followed on last week's gospel, the end of Act 1. Pick up again now with Act 2. Act 2, Scene 1. Jesus predicts the Passion. Again, he does it three times at the beginning of each act. Chapter 8, Chapter 9, Chapter 10. The Son of Man is to be handed over to those who will kill him. 3 days after his death, he will rise. That's exactly what he said, not verbatim, but similar idea, to immediately after Peter's, "You are the Messiah," in chapter 8 last week. Scene 2. The apostles do something incredibly stupid. Last week, it was Peter actually rebuking Jesus over this suffering idea. This time, it's the 12 of them arguing about which one of them is the greatest. I mean, we are, by definition, the disciples. Duh, you know? We know who the master is, the relative rank among the rest of us. How could this be important when he's talking about death and resurrection? They just don't get it. They still don't have a clue. Scene 3. Jesus teaches, tries again, patiently, to get the point across to them. Last week it was, if you want to be my disciple, you must take up your cross and follow me. If you seek to save your life, you will lose it. If you seek to lose your life, you will save it. This week it's, anyone who wishes to be first shall be last of all and servant of all. And then the scene with the child. Now we get that one out of place because we have a different picture of the Jesus and the children. It's all those Victorian things that used to be in the catechism books, you know, that we had when we were kids. Jesus and the children all, you know, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, gathered around him. It looks so cute. It's not it. In that society, children were the lowest of the low. It was a very structured society and very patriarchal. You had the patriarch at the top, and then you had other adult males, and then you had females. And then you had slaves who didn't even qualify as men or women. And then you had children who didn't even have the same rank as the slaves. I don't know that anybody ever said so, but you probably could have got a good debate going as to the relative value of the children and the livestock. You know, that's about where children were in that society. Jesus is saying, take the lowest of the low. Take one of these children. They're even referred to in the Greek as an it rather than a he or a she. He put it in his midst, in their midst. Get down to that level and you find out what it's about. Be last, really last, even like a child, last. And then you'll find out who you are. They still don't get it, of course. Next week and the week after, we'll hear further teaching on that point. And then 2 to 3 weeks from now, it'll start again, Act 3. Jesus will predict the Passion again. The apostles will do something else incredibly stupid. And Jesus will try to teach them still a third time. We have a very patient God who keeps trying and trying and trying to get the point across to us. But yet we keep being like the disciples. We keep being like that blind man from last week's gospel, who sees people like trees walking around. We see Jesus as Messiah, but the idea of the self-emptying of Jesus, even unto death, we can't quite get our minds around that, and we surely can't get our guts around that. At our guts, we're still very much with the disciples, arguing about which one of us is the greatest. Trying to save our own life, trying to get the seats at the right and the left. We do all the stupid things that the disciples did. It's not malicious. It's not evil. It's just stupid. And yet we do it again and again and again. We should know better. They should have known better. Did you hear that first reading? That was from the Book of Wisdom. It was written over 100 years before Jesus. Well, it's late, granted, it's late for a book of the Bible. And it's written in Greek. And those guys weren't as good in Greek as they were in Hebrew. Still, it was there. And it predicts just about as clearly, almost word for word, everything that will happen with Jesus. He calls God his Father. Let's see whether that's true. Let's put that to the test. We will condemn him to a shameful death, for surely if God is his Father, God will take care of him. And of course God will, and God does. But not in the way that they expect. Not by making him number one. Not by preserving him from death, but by preserving him through death. It is through his outpouring of himself in death that he comes to his resurrection and is seated at God's right hand. It's through our outpouring of ourselves that we will establish our place as disciples. It's through our outpouring of ourselves that we will earn the right to sit with him at the right and the left. But in the meantime, we have to keep struggling with that idea. It just doesn't want to fit inside our minds, and it sure doesn't want to fit inside our guts. So we need to go back time and time again and listen, because God is very patient. Jesus does this 3 times. It's a sign, you know. God will keep teaching and teaching and teaching. Keep telling us and telling us and telling us. If we keep listening and listening and listening, sooner or later, some of it will sink in. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.